Morning, everybody. Boker Tov. Welcome. I would like to continue, Be'ezat Hashem, today with our three-part theme. Last week we dealt with the issue of when one keeps time-related mitzvot going east and west across the date line. We talked about that in some length, you don't have to have heard last week's shiur to understand this week's shiur, but it's a natural progression. Because last week we talked a lot about east and west. That was the real issue. It was an issue of longitude. Today we need to talk about north and south, which is an issue of latitude. And I've labeled this shiur sunrise, sunset. And you can sing the song in your head as we go through the shiur. Mitzvot in polar regions. And this is, again, not something which is technical and theoretical, but very practical. A number of people, even just walking in here, have said, oh, I went on a cruise, we went to Alaska, etc. Now, the nature of the world is such that most of the inhabited land is in the north. There's a lot of land in the south, but it's called Antarctica, and nobody really goes there, unless you're on a polar expedition. So in the north, however, the inhabited land mass goes really quite close to, into the Arctic Circle and close to the pole, which is not the case, even if you go to the south. If you go to Patagonia on a trip, which you can do, it's nowhere close to the same latitude south as people living in Sweden, Norway, Alaska, etc. are to the north. And I brought you a map here of the left map this week than last week, but this is a map of the northern area, the polar region, the Arctic Ocean, where you'll see that there is a line, an imaginary line, a dotted line, which we call the Arctic Circle. This is the line which is 66.5 degrees north. Now, Britain, England is around 50, 55 degrees north. You go further north than that, there are a number of countries that the Arctic Circle cuts through. The USA and Alaska, Greenland, Canada, Russia, Norway, Sweden and Finland. Iceland, not really. Iceland is basically below the Arctic Circle. If I can remind you, please, good reminder to turn off your phones. Iceland is below the Arctic Circle, with just a tiny little bit above. But basically, as you know, as one goes north, and we'll stick with north for today, south is just the exact opposite, the polar opposite, you might argue. As you go north, basically, in the summer, the day gets longer, and the night gets shorter. And in the winter, the night gets longer and the day gets shorter. We all know this. When you cross the Arctic Circle, as soon as you cross the Arctic Circle, there is at least one day a year where the sun never sets in the summer. Okay, the sun never rises in the winter, which is the solstice. Let's go with the summer, the June solstice. The sun will never actually set. It'll just go around the sky, dip to the horizon and come straight back up again. As you go further and further north, those days increase until you actually get to the pole, at the North Pole. Now, nobody lives at the North Pole, but people do, I suppose, visit there. When you actually get to the North Pole, there is only one sunrise and one sunset each year. Basically, the sun rises in March, and it stays above the horizon all the way through the summer, and then it sets again in September, and it's below the horizon all the way through till the next March. Now that doesn't mean, some people make this mistake, it doesn't mean that it's 6 months of light and 6 months of dark. It doesn't switch off like a light as soon as you get to the equinox. There's a lot of light in the middle of the summer, and then once the sun goes below the horizon, there's quite a lot of twilight. Meaning through September, October, beginning of November, you're living in this kind of Bein HaShemoshos, literally, twilight zone, and then eventually it gets dark. So there are only actually 11 weeks of complete darkness in the winter, even at the North Pole, but there's a lot of twilight. Now, twilight is itself divided. If you look in the middle of the first page, just in terms of legal issues, even in the inhabited world, there are different twilights. There's civil twilight, which is the sun 6 degrees below the horizon, which is when you have to turn your car headlights on, usually when the lights go on in the street. There's nautical twilight, which is 12 degrees below the horizon, where you can't really see the horizon on the sea. And then there's astronomical twilight, when there is actually no light whatsoever. Now, obviously, our question is going to be, if you go to page 2, there are a number of real halakhic questions that come up. First of all, when do I daven shachris, mincha, and maariv? Obviously. You go to a friend of mine was a rabbi in Norway for many years, They used to go to the north of Norway, into the Arctic Circle, to do hashgacha on smoked salmon. A lot of our smoked salmon comes from there. And it never really got light, he said. They davened shacharit, sort of when it was just about blurry. And they said, when shall we daven mincha? And they said, now! You know, and they daven mincha, like, you know, because it was already, the blur just begun to get darker again. When do you daven shacharit, mincha, and maariv? When is the beginning and end of Shabbat? This we need to talk about. What about fast days? Never-ending fast days in the North Pole, okay, or close to there. Slow fast days, yes. What about when do you perform daytime mitzvot? Like Brit Mila. I mean, hope you're not doing a Brit Mila at the North Pole, but, you know, Lula, Shofar, etc. And also nighttime mitzvahs as well. And the truth is, the real halachic shaila is not specifically the North Pole. That's very interesting. But all of those areas to the north where people do live. Stockholm, Finland, and this is an issue, of course, for Muslims to have them as well. Because there are close to 1 million Muslims living in Scandinavia. That's a lot of people who have to work out what to do at Ramadan. And it's all very well this time in their cycle when Ramadan comes out in around Nisan, Adar or Nisan, Nachan at the moment. Okay, that's pretty much the same wherever you are. But once Ramadan is in the middle of June or July and you're living in the middle of Sweden, then that's, and you're fasting for 30 days on end. So they have their own system as to how to work that out. You can go to your local Orthodox imam and they will, they'll tell you what to do about that. But there are Jews living there as well. Now, there are quite a lot of Jews in Alaska. Quite a lot of Jews in Alaska. They call them the Frozen Chosen. That's the name they have for themselves. There aren't so many Jews living in Norway, a few hundred, and Finland also maybe 1,000, but quite a lot in Sweden. There's a significant community in Stockholm. My son and daughter were just in Stockholm a few weeks ago to run a Shabbaton for Bnei Akiva, and there's a community in Malmo as well. So what are they going to do, and how are they going to do it? So what I want to show you, and actually this is one of the most complicated topics I've ever researched. I didn't think it was going to be this complicated, so I'll try and make it straightforward, but even I'm not completely got my head around all of the issues here. There are basically five halachic approaches as to how we're going to deal with this. Five halachic approaches. And I'm going to go through them one by one. The most interesting and relevant one is number 4, which is the one that most poskim go with, which we'll see is the Tiferet Israel. We'll get there when we get there. But I want to go through all five with you, and let's have a look at them. Halachic approach number 1 is that halachic time depends on sunrise and sunset. They are the basic units of the day, Vayi Erev, Vayi Boker. If there's no sunrise and sunset, there is no halachic time. And the minute you cross into that zone, meaning if there is sunrise and sunset, but then maybe no nightfall because the stars don't come, okay, we can live with that. We can work around that. But no sunrise, no sunset, halachic time comes to an end, and you do not need to do any mitzvah at all, which is time-bound. You do not need to keep Shabbat. You do not need to daven shacharit, mincha, maariv. You can't count. There are no days. We're just in limbo. We're floating. If you have a baby, you can't do a bris because you can't count the 8th day because there are no days. If you're a woman counting Shiva Nakim, you're just now in constant limbo because there are no days. And basically time comes to a stop. Now, in case you think this is a bit of an extreme position, and by the way, this is not the halachic position which is adopted by most poskim, but it is a serious position. And I brought you Rabbi Dr. J. David Bleich, who is a very serious commentator on these kinds of contemporary issues. He wrote an article which I recommend you read. I reference it in the notes. Let's read him in number 1. The notion that a Jew in the polar areas is exempt, even from some mitzvahs, meaning you still have to eat kosher, because it's nothing to do with time, but even some mitzvahs has been branded far-fetched, or worse, by a number of rabbinic writers. Indeed, one can readily empathize with that reaction. And despite the fact that the alternative theses, which we're going to see in a minute, which have been advancing to be at least as far-fetched. And by the way, next week, we're going to look at what happens when, basically, there are no answers in mainstream halacha. Every answer is fetched and far-fetched. Yeah? And what do you do? Where do you try and create a new halachic approach where there was no... We'll talk about that next week, a very important piece by Rav Vick on that. But he says, the others are at least as far-fetched. This writer would not have the temerity to advance that thesis, i.e. that halacha stops, without at least minimal support. Support for this view is found in the writings of an anonymous scholar quoted by Rav Yosef Mashash in Tshuvas Maim Chaim, who was a serious North African poisek. Rabbi Mashash reports that as he was shown a manuscript authored by an unnamed scholar described as, quote, one of the sages of the generation, that scholar is certain that persons finding themselves in such locales are exempt from Sabbath observance, quote, because the Torah predicted the matter predicated the matter upon days, as is written, 6 days you will labor, on the seventh you will rest, unless otherwise specified, days are composed of 24 hours. Since in the polar region there are no days, there's no Shabbat there. Now, says Rabbi Bleich, although Rabbi Mashash cited his view only to disagree with it, this writer, i.e. Rabbi Bleich, finds the thesis advanced by this anonymous scholar to be entirely cogent, and finds it instructive that neither Rabbi Mashash nor any other scholar has advanced evidence to counter that view. So even though it sounds ridiculous that you don't have to keep Shabbos at the North Pole at all, he said it's not ridiculous. Maybe we don't pass him that way, and maybe there are other approaches, but don't just dismiss this. This is a real thing. Next week, when we go into orbit, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will talk about this as more of a serious issue, and we'll talk a little bit this week about that too. Yes?
You talk about 24 hours. Yes.
There's no such thing as Shaul's Maniot. Shaul's Maniot are measured from sunrise to sunset. There is no sunrise and sunset. There's no such thing as a Shabbat Manit.
So it's Shabbat 24 regular hours.
If you had a watch, you can look at your watch, but it's now irrelevant because any normal calculation of halachic time has come to a stop once there are no Shabbat. Shabbat are managed from from sunrise to sunset. So there is one view like that. That is the first approach. Let's not worry about that. Rabbi Bleich gives a lot of other support for it. He quite likes it. Even though it sounds a bit strange, but no one really follows that, so let's drop it for now and go on to number two. Number two is based on the Munkacher. The Munkacher basically comes up with the following view. Look, when the sun rises, that's the beginning of the day. If the sun never sets for 6 months, so you've got a 6 month day, meaning you count the actual day from sunrise until the next sunset, no matter how long that is. So if you are living at the North Pole, where normally for us, there's a sunrise and a sunset in each 24-hour period, right? That's how it works. At the North Pole, sunrise and sunset is an entire year, as I said to you. The sun rises in March, it sets in September and rises again the next March. So the Munkacher, Shkayach. So each halachic day lasts a year. That's what it is. You keep 6 years without Shabbos, and then for an entire year you keep Shabbos. An entire year you keep Shabbos, the seventh year. Because that's the day. That's the day where you are. It's the sunrise, sunset. Let's have a look where he gets this from. Number two. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Asah yireach lemoedim. God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, created the moon for holidays. Meaning we go by the moon. Of course the moon is regular at the pole, and we make the difference to the moon. The moon does its normal thing everywhere. But Shemesh Yada Mavor, the sun knows it's going down. What does this mean? Says the Psikte number 3, Asa Yerech Lamoadim Shemesh Yada Mavor, Rabbi Shila Ishkvar Tamarta, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan says as follows, Mikan, from this you learn, from this verse in Tehillim, She'ein Moilin Alevana. The moon is irrelevant, we don't worry about the moon, Ela Imkein Shaka Chama. Everything requires a sunset. Without a sunset, there is no way that we can move forward. And in fact, many of the poskim try to bring proofs from various different places. For example, what happens if the sun stands still in the middle of the day? Does that freeze the day until the sun actually sets? Do we have any precedent for this?
Yoshua.
Let's look at number four. Let's go to number four over the page. Vayidom HaShemesh. The sun stood still. And the moon stopped as well, which is important, by the way. We'll see it's not just the sun. Adikom goyovav, until they managed to take revenge on their enemies. As you know, Yeshua is chasing the Amorim down the Kfish 443, down through Modi'in. That's basically the way he's going down the Ayalon. Yeah? He's going racing down past Chashmonaim, down towards Tel Aviv. It's written in Sefer Yashar, says the Pasuk, the sun stood in the middle of the heavens, It didn't go down for a whole day. And there's a discussion, what does that mean? It stood for 24 hours, it stood for 12 hours, etc. There's a pirkei the Rebbe lays in number 5. It says as follows. It was Friday afternoon. That's the whole point, says the pirkei the Rebbe later. Miyom shenivru shamayim v'aretz, number 5. From the day that the heavens were created, hayareach v'akochavim v'amazalot olim la'ha'ir al ha'aretz. Everything worked like clockwork. Everything was normal. The ein amarim zeim zeh. They didn't interfere with each other in a... That's why teva is called teva, because it's fixed. Teva means something which is fixed. That's why a matbea, a coin, it has the shorish teva, because the inscription is fixed. It won't come off. That's why a tabas with a ring is called a teva, because you do a seal. It's fixed in, it's sunken in. Anyway. Zein amarim zeim zeh. Achivan Yeshua va'asa milchamtam shel Yisrael. Until Yeshua came to fight the wars of the Jews, the Erev Shabbos Haita, it was a Friday afternoon. Barai Yeshua, the Tzaraas and Shal Yisrael, Shalai Chalo at Shabbos, and Yeshua says, well, we have to fight the war, but we don't want to be Mechal al Shabbos. Leave aside, well, you can be Mechal al Shabbos if you're in the middle of a war, but it's not called Chil Shabbos. Leave that aside for now. We'd rather do it on a Friday. And he saw that also the non-Jewish astrologers, Bayim al Yisrael, coming towards the Jews and using the stars to help them. Ma'asa Yeshua, what did he do? Pashat yado la'ora shemesh, or la'ora yerech, or la'ora kachavim. He reached out his hand to all of the light. The hisker alein Hashem, he said, Shem Hashem, va'amdu kol echad va'echad shleishim v'sheish shalos. And the whole thing came to a halt for 36 hours. Ad mait to Shabbos. Now what does that mean, ad mait to Shabbos? It means that the sun was in the sky, but Shabbos just came along and did its own thing. Meaning, when eventually the sun said it was Motzei Shabbos, but either Hashem, he brings the posik. The Mokatcher wants to say that if the sun stands still, then everything is on hold, just for them. Because you can't actually count the end of the day until the sun sets. And there is a Talmud Yerushalmi, which I wasn't aware of until I researched this year, which is talks about Rebbe's funeral. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi died on a Friday. So they needed to bury him. So look at this very interesting story in number 6. Rabbi Nachman b'shem Rabbi Mana, Masin Nisim Nalta b'Oisayom. There was a great nace that happened on that day of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's funeral. Erev Shabbos Haise. It was Erev Shabbos. V'nitzkansu kol hayorot lehaspido. Everyone came in from all over Israel for the hespeg. I'm thinking now like the Leviah of Rabbi Avadi Yosef, where I was in Yerushalayim, and there were 750,000 people there. I think I mentioned, I thought I was going to say the bracha. I'm seeing 600,000 Jews. This is like the one time in my life so far that I've had 600,000 Jews in one place, and I was all prepared. Unfortunately, the whole day, the whole afternoon in the Leviah, I only saw two Jews. The guy that was pushed in my face here, and the guy that was pushed in my face there. And I just walked down like that, all the way there, and I walked back all the way there. So I didn't say any brachas. My son, who is a pikeach, he ran in a building, followed a load of people onto the roof of a building in Ezra's Torah. He looked down, and he made the bracha. And there were about 500 people on the roof of this building, until the guy with the dira on the top floor ran up screaming, there are cracks in the walls of his building, because there are hundreds of people now standing on the roof. So everybody ran down again, they all ran out in the street. Okay, Shkaya. So something like that may have happened for Rebbe's funeral, but it was a Friday. Rav Avadi Yosef, they didn't bury on a Friday. Well, they wouldn't dream of such a thing. I don't remember which day it was, but it wasn't Friday. So everyone came in for the hesped. Vishrinu Tamni Esrei Kenishin, they had 18 stops along the way. V'achtunei Lebei Sharian, they left him to rest in Bet Sharim, which is where he's buried. We've mentioned Bet Sharim in this year before. V'tala Lun Yoma, and the day was on hold. Ad Shehaya Kol Echad Ve'Echad Magia Lebei Tzoy, until everybody managed to get home. U'mamali Lo Chavit Shomai, go to the well, fill up some water for Shabbos. U'madlik Lo Yifaneh, meaning the sun stood in the sky until everybody got home. A long Friday. Kevan Shishaka Chama, when the sun eventually went down, says the Yerushalmi, Kara Yeva, the cockerel crowed, thinking it was already Saturday morning. Now, the people were aware that the day was on, but apparently the cockerel was on regular time. His circadian rhythms or whatever were still telling him time to get up in the morning. When the people heard the cockerel, says the Yerushalmi, they were very upset. Sharam Asikim, they were very scared. Amrin, they said, Dilman, Chalal, and Shabbos. Maybe we'd be Mechalal Shabbos. Meaning, okay, the sun was still up, but maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe Shabbos came in, although it was still light. You hear the question they're asking? Yotza Baskol. So a Baskol came out, a voice came out to tell them, La Amrin, and it said to them, Kol Mi Shaloin is Aftel Behetzvedu Shal Rebbe. everyone who was not lazy, who went out to join in the Hesbed, Mvusa Lachai Oilam Haba, is welcome in Oilam Haba. Okay, that's nice. That's great. But does that mean that it was Shabbos or it wasn't Shabbos?
We don't know.
It's not clear, right? Meaning, it might be saying, don't worry, you didn't break Shabbos, it's not Shabbos yet. Or they might be saying, it actually was Shabbos, the sun is irrelevant, Shabbos came in, but you were doing a big mitzvah, so, you know, you get an exception. Apart from, apparently, one guy, Bar Min Katsra, apart from the launderer, there was one guy who normally came, who this day didn't bother coming, he, I'm afraid, he doesn't go to Olam Haba. You're sat for the launderer, I hear. Kevan the Shama came, when he heard that, this is a very strange ending to the story, when the launderer heard that he was not getting into Olam Haba, Salik Leila Igra, he ran up to the roof, but Talagar Meyomet, he threw himself off the roof and he died. Nafak Bat Tala, and then the Baskar came out and said, Va'amra, Afilu Katra. Now he gets in too. A very strange story at the end, leave aside, the Meforshim are going, you know, trying very hard to understand how throwing yourself off the roof, Lo'aleinu, can get you into Olam Haba because you felt bad, you did tshuva. Leave that whole thing aside. But the point here is, the sun stayed in the sky, and the question is, does that mean that the day ended or the day didn't end? And these sources are equivocal. It's not absolutely clear. Even with Yeshua, it wasn't just the sun that stayed still. The whole of nature stood still, whatever that means. The stars, the sun, the constellations, the moon. So it's not just about the sun. By the way, there's a lot of academic discussion as to what could have been, if you're an academic and you're not into Midrashim, what could have been the sun standing still in that battle in the Ayalon. And there's one interesting recent theory in the academic world. There was actually a total eclipse that happened in October 1207 BCE. Now, according to the classic Torah dating, this battle happened in 1273 BCE. That's not far off. That's not far off. So they're saying maybe this was a total eclipse. I don't know. There's a lot of people that say that's nonsense and that's not part of it, but I leave you to think about that yourself. So that's the second opinion, which is that the sun does everything, and if the sun is up, it's still the same day. So what that will mean is, if you travel to the North Pole, according to the Mooncatcher, and it's a Tuesday when you arrive on a Tuesday, you fly to the North Pole, you stay on a Tuesday, and it's June the 30th. So now it's Tuesday until September, and it's Tuesday until the next sunrise. So it's going to be Tuesday wherever you are until it gets to the next day. Okay? That's a respectable opinion. Obviously, keeping Shabbos for a whole year is tricky. I've never tried it, but I imagine it's tricky. So that let's put that on hold as well. Let's go on. Approach number three is we'll see Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden, living in the middle of the 1700s, middle 1700s, always has something interesting to say about everything. And Rav Yaakov Emden says the following. He comes off a Shabbos in a Gemara in Shabbos, which is a Shulchan Aruch number 7. We looked at this briefly last week. Everyone look at number 7, bottom of page 3. Ha'hoylech ba'midbar, if you're traveling in the desert, the eni yodei matai hu Shabbos, you lose track of time. Meina shiva yamim miyam shenatan lelibo shechachaso. You from the moment that you realize that you've lost track of time, so then you think, okay, I have now no idea when Shabbos is, because I have no idea where I am. I don't know, the guy passed out, he came around again, he's no idea where he is. You count 7 days from this moment, and on the seventh day, 6 days on the seventh day, umakadesh hashvi bekiddush b'havdalah. And on the seventh day you make kiddush, on what in the middle of the desert is a good question, but, you know, you have a bottle of Palwin, kiddush wine, or whatever it is with you, b'havdalah, and you make havdalah. The inyesho mimalehit parnet, if you have enough food to survive through the week, Asaloi la'atas malacha. Cloud, you can't do malacha on any day, not just the seventh day, but on any day, because any day could be Shabbos, right? So you have to not do malacha, unless it's pekuach nefesh, achikali machal yeshul, until you finish what you have, v'av yetza malacha b'chol yom, and then you can do malacha every day, afilu b'yom ha'shvi, even on the seventh day, yom ha'kadosh boy, today parasato mutzum semes, what you absolutely need. U'mutalelech boy, you can travel every day, fine. So, if you have an arbitrary, individual Shabbos, it's Shabbos for you on a different day than everybody else in the world. That's what you do. Now, of course, you have to be logical. And the second part of the Shulchan Aruch says, if you know how many days it is since you left, you just don't know what day it is, yeah, you can assume that you didn't leave on Shabbos. And therefore, you can always do work properly on the 8th day, the 15th day, the etc. Because you know,
right,
this is definitely not Shabbos, because I would never have left on a Shabbos, but other than that, you're completely sedrate, you're completely semished, you don't know what you're doing. Fine. So it has to be logical. So comes along Rav Yaakov Emden and says, let's apply this to the North Pole. Go over the page to page 4. This is not mentioned, the North Pole is not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Rishonim, it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. They talk about this Shabbos in the Midbar, but in Shari Tshuva, one of the Meforshim on the Shulchan Aruch, the author is Rav Chaim Mordechai Margulis from Dubna in the early 19th century, he says as follows. The Ayin B'mor of Ketzia, number 8, the Ayin B'mor of Ketzia, look in the Mor of Ketzia, which is Rav Yaakov Emden Sefer, but Oysim Shinoisim Tachas Kaitev Shehayom Mitarech Chodesh. The people go close to the pole, the Kotev, where the day lasts for a month, or Beit Chodeshim, or 2 months, the Yeshisha Chodeshim, or even 6 months, as we've seen. What do you do? So he has a new approach. Listen to this. Yesh Limnot Vav Yamim, just like in the desert, you have to count 6 days of 24 hours, Shalchav, Dalet Shavs, Shalanu, of regular hours. So Rav Yaakov Emden seems to say that what we're going to do at the North Pole is just forget about the sun, because there's nothing I can do with the sun now. I'm just going to count 24 hours 6 times from when I get there, and then I'm going to keep Shabbos. Okay? Now, some of them are forcing to say, but of course, it has to be logical. So if you know you got there on a Tuesday or a Wednesday, you're not just going to count randomly 6 days and then Shabbos. You're going to count 24 hours from now, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and I'm just going to keep Shabbos on the next 24 hours. Because really, quite frankly, it's equivalent to the Midbar, says Rav Yaakov Emden. You're just clueless. You don't know what's going on. And you'll see in a minute when we look inside Rav Yaakov Emden where he's coming from. Have a look at number 9. The Mor Ketzia says as follows. Sorich Ian, and you'll see some fascinating things here. Eich yinadu hayoshvim oynosim b'medina tasmuchus l'kotev. What do you do if people go near to the poles? And by the way, there were whaling ships that went close to the poles. So looking for whales. And in case you're wondering, what is the connection between Jews and whaling? Okay, Jews have a connection to everything. I googled it. You'll see in a minute that Sferis Yisrael talks about whalers. Yeah? And in fact, it was a Jew that invented the process of turning the fat in the head of the sperm whale into candles. And therefore, you can bet your bottom dollar that there were Jews involved in the whaling business as well, back in those days. And says the Rav Yaakov Emden, there were people traveling to the poles. The closer you get, the day gets longer and longer. Some places there's a month of light. Or shnei chadashim. One day is 2 months. Until a day lasts for a whole half year. Correct. And so too, the night is for half year. The tachat hakotev, and at the pole itself, lo yesh yom v'layla klal, there is no day and night at all, ela kol hashana kula hu bein hashmashes, the whole year is twilight. And that's wrong. That's not correct. But it might be important, based on his disag, but it's not correct. At the pole, it's not a year of 12 months of twilight. It's 6 months of sunrise and 6 months of sunset. It's not 12 years of year of twilight. So there's no sunrise and sunset. Also not quite true. Fine. In Cain, if that's the case, Kesad Yasu Sham Shabbat. So what should you do? Nearly, he says, I think the following. Sheyesh Limnot Sham Shiva Yamim, like we said, Shavim, just count 7, equal days, Shokaf Dal Shav, Shavu Shalanu of Ar. You have to take a watch with you, because by the time of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, people had watches. Okay? There's no point taking a sundial. In the middle of you can't really carry a sundial with you anyway, but in the middle of the winter it won't help. Okay? Take a watch with you. Umachashev miyom shegil hasham, and just calculate from the day you get there. Mone hayamim b'shal, count 24 hours times 6. Umachadish shavi, and then make kiddush on the 7th day. Kederech sheniska le'el, laholet b'midbar. Just like we said with the midbar. Now, does that mean that according to Rabbi Yaakov Emden, actually, really, you have to keep Shabbos every day at the North Pole, just in case? It sounds to be what he's saying. Because he's saying it's the same as the guy lost in the desert, who keeps the seventh day nominally as Shabbos, because you've got to remember Shabbos, but really, you're clueless. You don't know when Shabbos is at all. So you keep every day as much as you can Shabbos, and on the seventh day you do something like Kiddush and Abdullah. Sounds like that's what he's saying at the North Pole. And actually, if you think about it, if he really thinks that the North Pole is completely twilight, which is not true astronomically, then of course it's a complete Suffolk. Twilight is the ultimate Suffolk yum. You just don't know. You can't know. Not that you don't know, but you need to find out, but you don't know and you cannot know. Bein Hashmoshes is a Suffolk which is irresolvable. And therefore he says you're just going to have to do what the guy did in the desert. And in the next piece, I mean, I want to read the last line for you, he says, he talks about the dateline that we see with East and West, there are people keeping Shabbos at different times, and he says, really, how can it be that Jews all over the world are keeping Shabbos at different times? And he says, that's not a problem, because actually Shabbos is quite subjective, more than you think. We're used to the idea that Shabbos is a fixed day. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh HaShavi. Mekadesh HaShabbat. But actually he says that every Jew in the world, think about it, this was before time zones. Now we have organized time zones, so that every 15 degrees, roughly, of the planet, everyone's keeping the... But it wasn't the case then. Everybody was, clocks were different. If you lived in New York, your clocks worked differently from if you lived in Cleveland, and if you had every 5 miles down the road, everyone was setting the clock differently. So actually, you would be keeping Shabbat a little bit differently from the people down the road, because you're all going by your own sunset. Look what he says at the end. Look, 3 lines from the bottom, there's a full stop in the middle of the line. So this guy at the North Pole, like the guy in the desert, will keep Shabbos based on his own, not arbitrary, but subjective framework. For who's Shabbat Shalom? That is his Shabbos. Mamash. The whole Gemara. Ela sheha Shabbat ha-gamur ha-amiti ha-muchlat. Because the only real, absolute Shabbos, Vadai for sure, Eino Ela be'eretz ha-kadosh, is only in Israel. Only Israel has the real Shabbos of the real time. Isn't this interesting? Sha'alav yitzas to kol mitzvah ha-perek, that's where the mitzvahs really apply. So really, when you keep Shabbos in London, New York, Johannesburg, it's also a little bit arbitrary. It's not real Shabbos. It's Shabbos for you. Just 1 second, let's finish the line. And then he brings the Kuzari and the Ramban, who of course famously talk about the fact that mitzvahs only really apply in Eretz Israel. There's a chiddush in the Chazal say that you even have to keep Torah on a Doraisa level in Chutz La'aretz when you're going to Galus, yeah? But that's a chiddush. Really, mitzvahs only apply in theory in Eretz Israel. Even mitzvahs have nothing to do with Israel. So the only objective Shabbos is in Eretz Israel. Everything else is really a bit subjective. So don't be surprised that this guy is keeping a bit of a random Shabbos, because really everybody else is too. Yes.
That would imply that it's not Shabbos the rest of the day.
Well,
in other words,
the rest of the week.
Yeah.
Because that's his Shabbos for him. Yes, that sounds like he actually is saying not quite the same as the guy in the desert, but this is Mamash your Shabbos. Maybe. Yes.
At any given location, you can argue it's not really subjective, because at any given location there is a real sunrise and a real sunset. So that's the day, and that's when Shabbos starts.
Good, but is there a spiritual reality?
But in a place like the North Pole, there is no sunrise.
Good. Correct. Yes. And Rabbi Bleich makes that point, which is the comparison between the desert and the North Pole is not really very strong. That's why he says it's also far-fetched. Exactly like you said, because at least in the desert, there really is a day. You just don't know which day it is. But in the North Pole, Efshah, there is no day at all. Rabbi Bleich also raises other objections to this approach. Chazal made a gezeirah d'rabbanon that the person lost in the desert has to keep a seventh day and make it as like an arbitrary Shabbos. When Chazal made gezeirahs, they did them on things which were common. One of the principles of d'rabbanons is they don't make d'rabbanons on extremely unlikely situations. So being lost in the desert is a very likely scenario. But being stuck at the North Pole is not something that anyone would have even thought to make a drabbanon on, because it's never going to happen. It still doesn't happen. It certainly didn't happen in the time of Chazal. So Rabbi Bleich feels that this is not particularly helpful. And he says also, forget about the North Pole. What about even in London? In London, there's no real nightfall, Rabbeinu Tam. So what are you going to say? Are you going to say that now you're in a place really where there is no day and night and you just start keeping random days? It's not just at the North Pole. It's even further south than that as well. But this idea that the seventh day is only objective in Eretz Israel, I brought you, I'm not going to read it now, in 11 and 12, there's a Radvaz. There's a beautiful Radvaz who is Rav David ibn Zimra from Egypt in the early 1500s. He basically says, if you look in 12 for a second, they asked him, how can it be that people keep Shabbos at different times all over the world? That in America they're keeping, well, he didn't know about America, but in one place in India they're keeping Shabbos at this time, and in Morocco they're keeping Shabbos at a different time. So look at the line of the Tshuva, number 12, duh, you should know. Many people are confused by this. But I'm going to tell you what I think. Yeah, you should know, says the Radbab. He has Shabbos nimsero l'chol echad miYisrael. Every single Jew really has his own Shabbos. Shilema ki ois hi beini uveinechem. Ukemoshe ois habris hu l'chol echad v'echad. Just like the Brit is individual to everybody. V'chein haShabbos nimsero l'chol echad v'echad. Everyone has their own Shabbos. Really, he's saying the same thing as Rabbi Yaakov Emden in a way. It's just a couple of hundred years before. Shabbos is where you are in a very specific way to you. In fact, the Shaul Omeshiv, the Tshuvas from the 19th century, raises a question we say in Musaf, Am Mekadeshei Shavii. He says, that's a strange thing to say. With Chag, we understand Mekadesh Yisrael the Hazmanim, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mekadesh the Jews, and the Jews are Mekadesh the Chodesh. We decide when the Kedusha of Rosh Chodesh is. Very famous idea. But Shabbos, it's not that we are Mekadesh the Shabbos. Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh the Shabbos. Hashem is Mekadesh the Shabbos. It says no. Am Mekadesh Shvii means that even though Hashem gives the Shabbos Kedusha, we are the ones based on our subjective reality that actually determine when Shabbos is. And Shabbos is for us wherever we are. Very interesting idea, which is Rav Yaakov Emden. So again, what does Rav Yaakov Emden want you to do? Get to the North Pole, just say, count random days, 24 hours, and keep whichever the seventh one is, that's going to be Shabbos. Maybe keep from the day you are to Shabbos, and that's going to be Shabbos. Fine. Just that. That's the third approach. The fourth approach, which I want to look at in the most detail, is actually the one that most Poskim follow. We're not going to read the whole of this, but I brought you the whole source from the Tiferet Yisrael. Who's the Tiferet Yisrael? Rav Yisrael Lipschitz. He lived in Danzig, and he lived in the beginning of the 1800s. Look at what he says. Number 13. Let's look at briefly. I've chopped this up into little mini paragraphs, and you'll see I've put 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. on the side, so that we can break it up more easily. Let's have a look at this together. Number 13. Mr. Pickner, I have a question, he says. The Bedinot Hatzfoniot. Northern cities, Kamai Beirenu, Danzig, like in our city, or Copenhagen, or Stockholm, all of these cities. Could I make? Shisham b'chol chodesh yuni v'yuli laila kayom ya'ir. Every month, forget about the North Pole, he says. Go to Stockholm, you go in the summer, it never gets dark. I went to Helsinki for the summer, just for a day. I had a stopover in the airport. I spent a day in Helsinki. It was very nice, but there's no dark. And in the middle of the night, there's enough light to see the difference between Tcheles and Lavan. Now, Tcheles and Lavan is the symbol as to between the white and the blue when you're able to say Shema in the morning. Matai zman kriya Shema v'tzitzis. When does any of this begin and end? You can't just go arbitrarily and say we'll estimate based on the equinox when there's a real night and real day in March and in September. Nisan and Tishrei. Because you know and I know that when Shavuot comes, those people who stay up all night, you see already by this time, Tikkun Leil Shavuot was a thing, people who stay up all night, they don't wait until 6 a.m. in the morning. They daven. I remember in London, Tikkun Leil, hardly happens. Yeah, you finish dinner, especially if you're in a shul that doesn't daven until Zman, you daven about 9 o'clock at night, you finish dinner about 11:45, you know, and you go for a shir or two, and you're davening already at 3 o'clock in the morning, you're davening. Can you imagine? I've never done Tikkun Leil in Stockholm, but it's probably a 10-minute drosha, and that's it. Rabbi Chanani ben Akasha Omer, you're done. And you're down in Shacharit. On the other hand, you want to go to South Africa for Tikkun Leil Shavuot. That's the real deal. Because you've got like the whole night. And so it's like midwinter for them. So that's the real Talmidei Chachamim in Johannesburg, right? First of Shavuot. So says, don't tell me that people just go by Nisan and Tishrei. They don't. Alma She'ei Mashayim Acha Olos Shal Nisan and Tishrei. You can't just take random times from Nisan and Tishrei. Vatuki has for Shalom Gamla Indian Shabbos. God forbid for Shabbos, Nazel the Makamas Anal, Acha Nisan and Tishrei. You're going to do Nisan and Tishrei time in the middle of the summer for Shabbos? You'll randomly take out Shabbos? Even though you'll end up bringing Shabbos in earlier, okay, Al Kol Panim Al Yidei Zayi Yekula B'Yitzias Motzei Shabbos, you'll bring out Shabbos far too early. And then in the second paragraph, he talks a little bit about the idea that time is a bit relative. There's a Gemara that says that one of the Amoraim there says, I'd love to bring in Shabbos in Tiberia and take out Shabbos in Sipori, which of course you can't actually do because it's beyond the Tum, okay? But what he's saying, he said, I'd like to bring in Shabbos early in the east and run to the west and take out Shabbos. I'd like to be able to do that. And by the way, there's another discussion which is never even mentioned, which is Tiberia is in the is below sea level, okay? It's a lot, and Sipori is in the hills. Does your time for Shabbos or any day, sunrise and sunset, depend on astronomical time with your latitude and longitude, or is it based on where you are? If you're on the top of a hill, you get a little bit more light than everybody else because you can see the sun for longer. If you're in a valley, then the sun goes down earlier. Now, obviously, if I live in the middle of a ravine, a gorge, and the sun basically sets at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because that's the last time I see it because it's now disappeared, it's a little bit illogical to say, well, that's Shkia. But it's not so poshut. If you live in Har Nof, for example, and you're on the hills, there's a big shaila as to when it's sunset and sunrise in Har Nof. And there's many more relevant to the details and all sorts of other things. So anyway, so he talks a little bit about Tveri, etc. Then he talks about the date line, because everyone talks about these things together. But go down to little paragraph 4. You with me? Yeah. 4 at the bottom. Ulam. However, Ika Tveikatenu Hurak Bemedina Tzafonis Bekayat. The real shaila is in the far north. She'ein sham laila mamash klal. Rak neshef. There's like all night. Well, neshef is a funny word. It means in modern Hebrew like a ball, right? Like an all night ball. But neshef here means it's like light. Beyuni ubeyuli. It's like light all night. Matai yez man kriya shema betzil v'tzitzis v'shabbos. V'lichayre yesh liyistapik gam kein b'mish shekaraloi. If it happens to you, sheyavu v'kayit samach laha north pole. If you end up in summer near the north pole. Shisham yesh eizeh chazashim retzufim, there are months on end, b'kayit yom mamash. V'roi nechama, you can see the sun, makefet kol oifek. This is what happens at the North Pole in the middle of the summer. The sun just does a circle in the sky. This is very important for you to understand. It doesn't dip. It just goes round in a circle. You see the sun over here, and it just goes round, and it goes back to there again. So it says the sun is in the sky the whole time. V'roi nechama, makefet et kol oifek. It just goes round the horizon, so it, mizrach, drom, marid, tzafon. The Hekis Naga Yisraeli Habal Hashem. What if a Jew goes to the North Pole? Imasapanim with the sailors. Shaholchim Lasham. They go up there. Latsud Hataminim Hagdoilim. They go to hunt the great sea monsters. Valfish. Which are whales. You have to hunt whales. Matai's Mansi Latsud Vikrish Mashakit Arif Matai Yeshivat. Fine. Go over the page. We're not going to read the whole thing. But basically he says, here's my solution. This is solution number 4. Yesh loimar, here's what I want to tell you. Sham simon acha yeshla. You have to have a different style. You have to have a different approach. The sham hashemish makif mikol dalad rucho. The sun just goes round all the directions. It never goes up and down. Kol chaf dalad chos in 24 hours. That's how it works. Im kain, yoygeya shekol hakafa echod. Every hakafa of the sun, shitata hashemesh, yada shehu yom echad. So it's one thing you know for sure. He doesn't say like to Rav Yaakov Emden, that I don't know, I just don't know when the day is. Because Rav Yaakov Emden thought that it was twilight. He's saying, no. The Spirit of Israel is actually more accurate. He's saying the sun goes round. I know that one circuit, let's say I have a mountain, and it starts there, I know that by the time it gets back to there, that's one day. Nachon, that's what a day is up there. The only thing I don't know is when is the beginning and when is the end. Because it's just going round in a circle, where am I going to begin and where am I going to end? But I know when a day is. The in Cain, in the Avol Hashem, if you get to the North Pole, he says, the fi cheshbono b'yom echad, yada shehakafa hashviyas, if you know that you're necessarily on a Sunday, you know that the seventh circuit of the sun, shetah shehashemesh, hu yom Shabbos, you know that that's Shabbos. Don't tell me you don't know when the day is. You don't know when the day is. Each circuit of the sun is a day. So afagash is man shachris fa'arabis shalor lo yada. Even though I just don't know when shachris and when it's arabis. That I don't know, because it's light the whole time. I don't know when Shabbos begins and ends either. So that much I don't know, although he's going to give you a suggestion. So what should you do? So to cut a long story short, he says, if you came from Europe, you have to keep Europe time. Let's say you came from Stockholm, or you came from, let's say further down, Hamburg. You just have to keep the wherever you came from as the Zman in this 24-hour circuit that you're keeping the beginning and the end of the day. And if you came from America, you're keeping America. Because he says everybody knows that as you go around the globe, as you get towards America, time is earlier and earlier and earlier and earlier. But of course, at the North Pole, think about the North Pole, all the lines of longitude, all converge at the North Pole. So you can do a circuit around the whole world. If you're standing at the North Pole, you just walk in a little circle like this. You've just been through every time zone in the world. Which, by the way, is a question for modern-day secular non-Jewish explorers. Which time zone do they keep when they get to the North Pole? Because every 5 minutes they're, you know, in America, they're in Russia, they're in... Because they're all over the place. The time zones are in like a step. And in fact, they say a very similar thing. I brought you a quote from Wikipedia, which is, of course, always right. But in this, I assume that this is right. He says, basically, there's no permanent human presence at the North Pole. So explorers keep whichever time is the time that they left. I assume that they don't know the Tiferet Yisrael, but that's what the Tiferet Yisrael says. And then in paragraph 6 he says, I know it's going to come out a bit strange that you have three travelers together all get to the North Pole. Everyone agrees when Shabbos is, which day it is, but the one that came from Russia brings in Shabbos now, the one that came from England brings in Shabbos 4 hours later, and the one that comes from America brings in Shabbos 6 hours after that. And everybody is keeping their own zmanim, based on where they came from, but they're all sitting at the North Pole eating dinner. He says it's a bit strange, but that's the best I can do. And he says when he comes to Shema and Sitzis, he says, I give up. I just don't know what to do about that. Yeah.
They're exhausted.
Yes, they are exhausted. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll get to it. Yeah, they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. Oh, we'll get there in a minute. By the way, this idea of a kind of 24-hour cycle is not so random. If you look, please, in number 14 for a second. Vayikra lekim la'or yom, ulechoshech kara laila, vayihi erev vayihi boker, yom echad. Okay, good. That's evening and morning. But 1 second. When was the sun itself put in place? On the fourth day. So what does he mean by he erev? By he voker? On days 1, 2, and 3. There is no sunrise and sunset. So Rabbeinu Bachya already picks that up. Please just go to the second to number 15, over the page. Says Rabbeinu Bachya, by here, by Voke Yom Shlishi, the Shloshi Yamim, this is, Rabbeinu Bachya is living in the 13th century in Spain, maybe the 14th, the Shloshi Yamim Elu Hizki Erev Voke. On the first 3 days, it says Erev and Voke. The Loi Haya Shamorot, but there was no celestial body there, Sheyihu Mechayevim Ha'erev Avokeh. So what does it mean? What is Erev and Bokeh without the sun? Kishkiya Ta'or Hu Ha'erev Vizrichato Hu Avokeh. It means that when the light, because normally when light goes down, that's the evening, and when it comes up, it's the morning. Amnon Hiske V'shloshtan Erev Avokeh, but when it says Erev and Bokeh, Loi Klapi Ha'or Aval Klapi Ha'galgal. It's not about the sun. It's about the rotation of the celestial bodies. Now, he's thinking, of course, that everything is rotating around the earth. But it doesn't matter. We can talk about the earth rotating. It doesn't matter about the sun. Because you can take any constellation, which you can see in the sky, when it comes up, that's called, quote-unquote, boker. When it goes down, Hu lo erev, that's erev. So he's actually saying something very similar to what we see later in the Tiferet Yisrael, which is, I don't care if the sun's coming up and coming down. It's the rotation of the earth, or the system, whatever it is. Because don't forget, at the North Pole, the stars go round. It's only the sun that stays there. The stars, there's still a rotation of the stars. And therefore, and by the way, that helps you in the winter as well. What are you going to do? It's all very well, you've got your mountain with the sun going round in the summer. What are you going to do in the midwinter? It's dark all the time. How are you going to measure that rotation? The answer is stars. It works. Unless there's a snowstorm, in which case you're completely lost, I suppose. and then you don't know what you're doing. You have a watch, good. If you have a watch, you have to hope your watch works at the North Pole. Fine. So that's the Tiferes Yisrael, and most poskim go with that approach, which is what, again, that you can keep Shabbos, and you do know when the seventh day is, not that you're lost like in the desert, but you do know, but everyone's going to keep a different time based on what? Where they came from. Now, based on that, there are a number of different minhagim within the Tiferes Yisrael, a number of psakim. So some, I brought you them on page 7. Some say, some postgame, and I brought you in the footnotes who says what, some say you go with Israel time. Okay? If we all really live in Israel, even if we don't, we should, and therefore you go with Israel time. Yes, sir?
With respect, there's no it's
Yerushalayim time. Okay, good. You say Yerushalayim time. Yeah, fine. We'll go with Yerushalayim time. Others say no. It's the nearest normal location. The nearest time that you actually get the normal halachic phenomenon like sunrise and sunset. But of course that's difficult because what's normal? Again, is London normal? I mean, that's a good question generally. Yeah. But in terms of the stars, there's no nightfall, there's no Rabbeinu Tam in London already. So, how do you define normal? Some people say you go with the nearest Jewish community. There's evidence that in the 19th century the Jews of Scandinavia kept the Zmanim for Hamburg. Because that was the nearest place that Jews lived. Do you have that, John?
I had experience with this having been on a cruise in Norway on the fjords.
Yes.
In the end of June.
Right.
Of July. And the rub we were with got us very interesting shoes similar to this actually on this subject. And he said that we should keep the nearest viable Jewish community.
Right.
Oslo. So we kept.
Okay, so your Oslo time.
Which meant, interestingly, we made Havdalah at 12:45 a.m.
Right.
And we then went onto the deck
in blazing sunshine. The truth is that Havdalah is actually the least of your problems because you can always do Havdalah on Sunday. And that, when my kids were growing up in London, we always made Havdalah for them on Sunday morning. That was their breakfast routine. Sunday breakfast was Havdalah wine and cornflakes. That's all they knew. They thought everybody did that until they reached an age where they could stay up, like Shabbos went out in London at 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night in the middle of the summer. So some do, like John said, the nearest viable community. Other people say no. Like the Spirit Israel seems to say, it depends on where you came from. Where was your port of disembarkation or embarkation, whatever it is? Other people say no. It's where you normally live. It's your primary residence, where you come from originally. So you can see it gets complicated. We'll see more about this next week, but when Ilan Ramon went into space, and he wanted to know, when do I keep the Zmanim? So some people told him that he should keep the Halachic Zmanim for Houston, Texas. Why? Because that's the center, that's the base where everything's coming from, you know? So some people said Houston. Other people said, no, it's Cape Canaveral, because that's where you took off from. That was your point of departure. And in fact, he said he ignored them and he went with Yerushalayim time, like you said before. Unfortunately, as we know, that was a tragic trip. But we'll see next week some of the questions he asked in his chuz. Then some of these questions were addressed in that way. For space. As far as I'm aware, Neil Armstrong never had any shilas when he went into space. I don't think there were any Jewish astronauts in the 1960s, 70s space program, but there was on both of the space shuttles that crashed, that blew up, unfortunately, both Challenger and Columbia had Jewish astronauts on them. Ilan Ramon, of course, was the most famous. Okay, so that's one. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a different approach again. Based on this, he says, there are 24-hour periods, but he says like this, listen, when the sun doesn't go round in a circle except right at the North Pole, normally there's a dip. It goes down and up and down and up, right? Even if it's above the horizon, it's going like this. The lowest point of the dip is the new day. Is the beginning of the new day. And that's when the day changes over. That's not so arbitrary. Which is actually funny because if you think about it, the lowest point of the dip really is as if midnight. Yeah, but midnight becomes, if you like, Shkia. It all becomes a little bit confused there. But he says basically that's a 24-hour period. There are some days of the year where it's 99.99% day and only a fraction of night. It's gone, blink and you've missed it. And there are some times of the year when it's almost the entire night, that night, and then it's only a tiny bit of day. And in the times of the year that it's only day, you can only do day mitzvahs. And in the times of the year that it's only night, you can only do night mitzvahs. That's his approach, he writes that up. And if you look on page 8, we'll finish in a minute. The final approach is, within the Tiferet Yisrael, is really the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai says, okay, yes, you're right, we have 24-hour periods, we do know what we're doing. How do I decide where to start? He says, there's such a thing as polar time. Polar time is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. That's it. You have a watch, the day starts at 6 a.m., it finishes at 6 p.m., the night starts at 6 p.m., and it stops at 6 a.m. There we are, clockwork. And you bring in Shabbos 18 minutes before 6 p.m., and you take out Shabbos 72 minutes after 6 p.m. So that's it. In many ways, the Ben Ish Chai is the most glad. You really know what you're doing. The minute you're in the pole, you're on a newsman. A polar time, which is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., and he says that is the best way to go. Halacha Lamaisa, well, we'll get to that. That's the fifth approach. We'll get to the fifth approach in a minute. Rav Heinemann of the Starte has a very, very good article on this, which is called When Do You Pray When There Is No Day? Okay? And he rules that you have to be machmir for everybody, and you end up with the most bizarre zmanim in the summer and the winter. I actually started to summarize them on the sheet, and I just gave up. And I said, look at the article. If you ever go to the North Pole, then check on the article, because you're keeping Chumras of Rav Moshe Sternbuch and also the Ben Ish Chai, but you're ending up with some very long Shabbos, that's for sure. The fifth approach is your approach, which is stay at home, or at least don't go to the pole. In the 1880s, there was a Shut Zeicher Simcha, written by Rav Simcha Bamberger. He was asked by his son, who needed to go to Norway for business, in 1886. And his father wrote back, and he says, look, on the one hand, on the other hand, and then he wrote, I quoted it in English in the middle of the page, however, this is all theoretical halacha, in practice my inclination is, why should a person, even during the weekday, place himself in a state of doubt with regard to reading the Shema and prayers? At the minimum, don't remain in the country on Shabbos where there's a doubt regarding what to do. Nothing prevents God from bestowing blessing and success wherever your feet tread for the good. You'll make a paranoster even if you don't go to Norway. Al-Tidak. So, is there a source for this? Maybe. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik also followed this. Look at number 6. Rav Moshe Sternbuch in number 17, not number 6, I mean 16. Rav Moshe Sternbuch in 17 says the same thing. L'chein ein liyuhudi lagur b'kriya shama. Jews don't live in those places. But let me leave you with just a thought. Where would we see a source for this idea? So, this came up in Daf Yomi a few days ago, number 16. Tana Meri bar Brei de Rav Huna, Brei de Rabbi Yirmiya, bar Abba. So he said the following. When you leave somebody, and you're not going to see them for a while, you should always give them something to remember you by. A Dvar Halacha. They'll remember you and they'll remember the Dvar Halacha. And he gives an example. Ki had Rav Kahana elo el Rav Simi bar he left Rav Simi bar Ashi mi pum nara again ad beit into the Bible. He went up to the Bible. Ki matel haHasam Amala. He said to him the following: My dichsim, here's my dvar halacha that I'm going to leave you with. Why does it say in Yirmiyahu be'eretz loy abar ba'ish? There's a land that nobody went through. The loy yashav adam shama. Nobody lived there. Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, a land that nobody walked through and nobody lived there, says the Gemara. Kima achad alay avar, if nobody ever walked through, hey Yashav, how could he have lived there? What's he telling you? Obviously, if nobody ever walked through there, nobody ever lived there. El Olam Elachai is teaching you the following. Kol Eretz Shegaz Alea Adam Arishan Liyushuv, any country that Adam Arishan would have said you could live in, Lit Yashav, that you can live in. But Kol Eretz Shegaz Alea Adam Arishan Liyushuv, Loi Lit Yashav, shouldn't live in. That's a Dvar Halacha. That's a Dvar Halacha. Any place that Adam Arishan said to live, you can live, and any place that Adam Arishan said you can't, sounds like an Agadah for you. No, that's a Dvar Halacha. Says Rav Bamberger, here's my source. The Gemara here is saying there are places that a Jew should live, and there are places that a Jew shouldn't live, and you shouldn't live in a place which there is no day and no night, because to be a Jew there has to be sunrise and sunset. There has to be. So, they're the five approaches. So, ask your Shaila, when you go to the North Pole, or close there too, and let me know what you're told, because you get different answers. But cruises in Alaska are a big thing. We should all do the best we can and enjoy the cruise if we go. All the best. See you next week. Mm-hmm.
Pleasure.